Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No!
The Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump.
Boom! With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone week. Put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Oh, Mr. Dot-Commer
on WEEI.com.
Off Day Podcast, and we have some, breaking Patriots news. Not really breaking, but team captains were announced today by the team. A few kind of surprises, I guess. Juwan Bentley is the biggest surprise, given he's a third-year pro without exactly a lot of playing experience. But I just think that Belichick kind of wanted to give him that because of his role that he's going to play. And then Cam Newton, first year as a Patriot, he's also a team captain. Andy, what were your thoughts on the team captains?
Well, first of all, they're a little cliche to some degree, like your middle linebacker, your safety, your quarterback, your center, like they're right out of, you know, Captain 101 casting for a movie.
I'll go through, just so people know, it's Matthew Slater, David Andrews, Cam Newton, James White, Juwan Bentley, Lawrence Guy, Devin McCourty, and Jason McCourty.
Well, first of all, if you like listening to those guys, most of them are available each week on WEEI in various Patriots Monday and Friday interviews.
That is correct.
Including possibly Cam Newton on Monday, now that he's the starting quarterback of the Patriots, or Tuesday, sorry, after Labor Day, Tuesday.
Yes, I would think. You would think. I mean, we got Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham, and Newton's kind of left, and he's the starter, and the contract says the starting quarterback for the Patriots, so you would assume so.
So, the Bentley one is interesting, but, you know, I questioned whether Landon Roberts was like a – kind of a weird captain a year ago, and he got all pissy and wanted to fight me over it, whatever. But now Juwan Bentley, certainly 3-time captain at Purdue. I have no reason to believe he's not captain worthy. But as I said to you when we were getting ready to do this, like, what if he just stinks? What if he's like inactive by week 3? There will be like,
well, I mean, let's be fair. How much did Landon Roberts play last year?
No, I mean, that's fair, but you knew what he was. He was established as what he was already by last year. Juwan Bentley, I think, has some upside. I think could be good, but we don't really know. It's all projection. So I don't know how many times over the years, for example, the Patriots have had a captain who would be inactive. So
right.
It's just interesting. It's interesting that both McCourty's, certainly Devin has been a career captain, basically, but now Jason joins him, James White, career captain, David Andrews, career captain. Cam Newton is the most notable on offense because, you know, some people, Glenn Ordway, thought he might not even be the starter. And now he's your starting quarterback. He's your captain. But, I mean, when you heard the quote Bill gave the Sirius satellite radio guys about Cam, was there ever any question? You know, first one in, last one out.
I don't know if I said this to you or somebody else. That was the most glowing quote I ever heard him say about a player currently on his team.
And a player, what's most notable of it for me, he's dabbled in that area over the years for somebody like James Devlin or even like Lawrence Guy, maybe like a, no offense to them, but like second tier, third tier players. If you're a superstar or a borderline star or a story, he doesn't generally feed the beast.
Yep.
And that was a feed the beast story. Cam Newton has been here 2 months, right? July and August. He's been here 2 months. He has never thrown a pass in a Patriots uniform against another team or on a game field of any sort, no preseason, no anything. And for him to be glorified or put on a pedestal the way Bill did, I thought was interesting. And, you know, I thought Ben Volen actually, you know, sort of did an interesting job kind of parsing it to what the various theories may be. Is it Stidham related? Is it Brady related? Is it, you know, long-term negotiation related for a contract, whatever. It was notable, and you know, it was notable that it's Bill too, the way Bill handles things, not just the Cam side of it. So it was interesting, but we're where we thought we'd be. Cam Newton's the starting quarterback, and away we go.
Do you think, back to the captains, that there is some, or even just over the years, there have been rumors that there's some funny business in terms of the captains, where it's like, a guy's voted captain, and then guys talk amongst themselves, like, did you vote for this guy? Did you vote for this guy? I'm like, no. And Bill kind of sort of rings the bell a little bit.
Yeah, I assume the captains are a lot like the draft. Like, the scouts and everybody have all their work, their input, their say. And then if Bill doesn't completely agree, he does whatever the hell he wants at the end. So I think probably most captains are legitimate, that they vote or whatever. But the final result is like the director's cut. It's going to be Bill's the director, and he's going to make the movie show what he wants showing at that time for that season. So, but I don't know how many of these would really be questionable or glaring. Now, you brought up before we came on, like, would Julian Edelman ever be upset that he's not a captain, or should he be a captain? It's an interesting question. I don't know that I could see it really bothering him, or even wanting to be, because then you kind of talk about, now you're supposed to be a leader and you're supposed to do more press conferences.
I was just saying, the biggest thing is the press conferences.
Right. But
he's probably like, Bill, thanks for the favor.
Right. Right. And I don't know. Maybe there's something more to it. I don't tend to think so. I think it is what it is. And
I mean, he could have been a captain for the last like 5 years.
Right. He could have been a captain, or he could not be a captain, because you have James White and you have Dave Andrews and you have a quarterback, and I'm pretty sure you're only allowed seven. They have seven. I'm pretty sure you're only allowed seven total.
Yeah.
So the next big thing will be, does Cam Newton actually take part in any of the captain things, like going out for the coin toss, like Tom Brady didn't really do? He would just warm up on the side.
Yep. I guess.
Think he'll go out and call it?
No, I don't.
No, Matthew Slater, kind of his thing, huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, he doesn't really have as many roles as the other captain, so that sort of – he steps up to the plate.
He's got plenty of roles. Not all of them on the field necessarily, but he's got plenty of roles.
He does. He's still replacing Jack Easterby.
Jack Easterby, and like very, and then, you know, if they sign some, you know, mercurial wide receiver like AB, he'll have to talk three straight days and explain how the team is welcoming him, whether he wants to or not.
Yep, that too.
So he has plenty of roles. But I don't know that there's, other than the Newton thing, and we should probably talk about this a little bit. The way the captain's news came out last night, Wednesday night, Jim McBride, Boston Globe, reported Patriots captains, and he did it in a vague way.
It was defense.
He didn't say that, because he had Slater.
Well, I thought he said defense plus Slater.
Yeah, but he didn't say one way or the other whether there would be offense. It was, right. I think it was intentionally vague.
Yes, personally. I agree.
I think it was intentionally vague. So he had the
defense. Patriots have elected Devin, Jason McCourty, Lawrence Guy, and Juwan Bentley as defensive team captains per source. Also, Matthew Slater is a special teams captain.
Right. He didn't say one way or the other why there weren't offensive captains. Would there be forthcoming offensive captains? I thought it was intentionally vague.
Oh, no question.
And then today, Patriots had a team meeting. We should mention the Patriots are preparing for their team premiere, but it's a digital version on Patriots.com and WBZ. And apparently Bill announced in a team meeting that Cam Newton's the starting quarterback. And then reports came out that, you know, the offensive captains were Newton and Andrews and White. It's a little weird. First of all, I'm mildly surprised that he had some formal coronation for Cam Newton.
Well, that was my thing. And like the way that the tweet read, it was like beating out Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. So do you think Bill went up there and was like, yep, Cam Newton beat out Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer for the starting quarterback job? Like, give him a round of applause. Like, not how Bill operates.
And I don't even really understand the need for it. Like,
I mean, just by watching these training camp practices, it's pretty apparent who's the starter.
Right. We talked about the game simulation where he's on one team taking all the snaps and the other two are on a different team taking shared snaps.
Yeah, like it's not like, I don't know, David Andrews is like, oh my God, wow, Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback? Holy shit. Like,
right. Like, that's okay. It's a podcast. Fuck yeah, man. I don't really – I mean, did they every year announce right before the premiere that Tom Brady's
the quarterback?
Because Bill's big on every year you have to reestablish yourself, right?
Right, right.
So does
right.
he announce the starting quarterback every year?
Like so where are the tweets the last 18, 19, 17 years that Tom Brady will be the starting quarterback?
Right. Like, I thought he wouldn't announce it. I thought it was just like everybody kind of knows what's going on. They see the reps in practice, you know. Stidham, can you go run the scout team? Cam's going to do something. Like, that right. is just obvious. Like, you do as right. you're told, and you've been around a team long enough, and you know who the starting quarterback is when you start taking reps for the Dolphins and those things. So,
right.
It's a formality that I didn't really think. It's like Bill doesn't do the C on the chest for captains. Like, they don't right. believe in that.
Right.
And I don't know why you need to name a starter. I don't need – like, it's a little weird, and I may be writing something. I'm formulating it in my head about how there seems to be some kid gloves or unique treatment of Cam Newton.
I would say unique treatment is definitely a thing, and I don't know if it's just because we're accustomed to the way that he treated Tom Brady. And just the fact that it was sort of just assumed just his role and whatever. But I do think Bill is acting a little bit differently with Newton than any other like superstar player that he's had.
And I mean, we can get into discussion of why that would be, you know, and that gets into sort of the quotes with Sirius Satellite Radio. Like, is he taking jabs at Tom? Is he
right.
showing appreciation intentionally to say, Tom, I would have appreciated you if I appreciated what you were doing? Or like,
or is it like to prop up Newton, like to give him the satisfaction that like you're doing a good job? Like, I like what you're doing. Like, it's just, you could take it a number of different ways depending on what you want, what your angle is.
Now, I said to you, this is a little side difference or whatever. Like, I think Bill has always lusted after an athletic quarterback. Tim Tebow, there were comments when Tim Tebow was still in college. I think there were some comments after Lamar Jackson's breakout year in college. Like, I think he's always loved the idea of old – like, that's what he comes from. Like, the film of his dad and the film of the 30s and the 40s and the double wing and the wing tee and this, you know, the single wing and these yep. various things. I think there's some part of him – now, maybe it's also just – the grass is always greener. You always want when you don't have. Like, he had the greatest passing pocket passer of all time in Tom Brady. Like, I don't know. But I think there's always been a little bit of an affinity between Bill and a passing quarterback, an athletic quarterback. Now, he's obviously seen Cam Newton beat his team. So there might be something there. Like, he gained respect going against him. I don't know. But I think he has a weird affinity or like or whatever for Cam Newton and is treating him as such in a weird way that is notable. Now, we'll see. It might not mean anything. I don't – like, one of the theories I have is he wants to try to make this not a one and done, that he wants it to be a long-term relationship or a longer-term relationship, and especially now that he's probably realized or assessed that he's healthy, like he doesn't have to worry about the foot and the shoulder. Maybe he's even more so smitten. Smitten might be the word. He's smitten with Cam Newton.
I think that's a good way to put it. Getting to another topic, I guess I put out my 53-man roster final projection on Thursday morning. You had some gripes, or did you have gripes with it? Or
well, before we get into that, we should to me, the next biggest news of the week, not necessarily to listeners of the Off Day podcast or to us, but Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, yes. Let's get to that.
Is not making Bill Belichick's 53-man roster. Forget about Ryan Hannibal's 53-man roster projection. Mohamed Sanu will not be making Bill Belichick's 53-man roster. You know, he had a comment. If you listened
to this podcast, you knew it was coming. Let's just make that clear.
Yeah, we've been predicting. Well, I've been predicting it. I don't know which – you were off and on based on your roster projections, but I was going to be very surprised, more surprised that he made the team than surprised that he didn't make the team. But – a lot of others didn't agree. I know Jeff Howe's roster report for The Athletic this week, he said Harry and Edelman were locks and Sanu should be seen in almost the same light or something like that.
Yep.
And shortly thereafter, Sanu's out. Now, Sanu painted it as, you know, I think it might be a financial thing.
Said that to Josina Anderson, yeah.
Well, It is financial in a way, because he makes $6.5 million.
But he's not living up to that. Like,
and he, if it were just financial, don't you think the conversation with Bill might have said, but we'd like to keep you around at $1.75 million.
Right, right, exactly.
Doesn't sound like that happened. It was, it's not going to work out.
Right, exactly. And it's just watching the practices, it was clear that it just wasn't there. I mean, he didn't really make any big plays, didn't show that he was much different than he was a year ago down the stretch. And then, like we talked about the last week, I think, when you said he's probably the number three, number four receiver on the team with no special teams value. How can you pay a guy $6.5 million for that? And it's not like he's the number two guy behind Edelman. He's not. He was clearly behind Harry, and in my eyes, behind Gunnar Olszewski. And it's just that it was sort of pretty clear to me that he had an uphill battle making the team.
Huh. Uphill battle for a guy who ran up hills during the offseason trying to get, you know, back in shape. To me, there's no upside to him. Like, I don't know what he, you know, his one productive game was the game they force fed him the ball in Baltimore. Then he got hurt. Then he did nothing. But then he had drops. It wasn't just getting open in the ankle. I've never been a big Sanu guy just because I think he's always been a complimentary second fiddle. I'll play next to some really good players, get in where I fit in. But I also think there's a chance that his skills have deteriorated, that he's not what he once was. He could be one of those examples. I don't have any measurements, numbers to back this up. He could also be one of those examples of, you know, but my whole theory that if you run a 4-3 and lose a step, sometimes you can still find a way to adjust your game and succeed. If you're already a 4-6 and you lose a step, well, now you're toast. Like, you just can't compete anymore. You don't have any room for error there. And I just, there's no upside. I'm with Bill all along. Like, take Damir Bird, Gunnar Olszewski, Devin Ross, Jeff Thomas. They all have upside. I don't think Sanu has upside, certainly if he's not going to be – if he were just a possession guy working with Wes Welker, Randy Moss. So I know my first two roles are filled, and I just want a veteran. Maybe I'd ask him to take a pay cut. But otherwise, give me the money on my cap that I'll either use at the trade deadline or I'll roll over to next year when the cap's going down and I have good money and I'm looking to rebuild. So I just don't – And even if he was okay this year, is he going to be around next year? Like, what is there a long-term future?
No. Yeah. Can we get was that one of his worst, Belichick's worst personnel moves, trading a second-round pick for him last year?
It's probably up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think two of his worst personnel moves ever happened last year with Antonio Brown and Mohamed Sanu. Giving him $9 million or whatever and then giving – away a second-round pick for Sanu. Those are desperation, piss-poor moves.
My next thing with the Sanu thing was, how much of that do you attribute to Tom Brady saying, I want this guy?
Yeah, I mean, who knows whether that's 100% true, partially true. You know, I could see doing it to try to one last run, save the relationship with Brady, or even just save the season, where the season was going. But
I'm sure Brady was, you know, look at the guys I'm throwing to. Give me a guy like Sanu. And Bill's like, all right, what the hell?
Right, but, like, there was also sort of, yeah, I don't know, that whole thing and the Emmanuel Sanders aspect of it and the contract and the whole thing, yes, it was not a good move.
Now it's like, why didn't you go out and get Sanders? Because he was clearly the better player, but the argument not to do that was that the contract was only a one-year contract. And if, you know, Sanu's gone, so the same thing would have been the case with Sanders.
Right. And you were going to need a receiver going forward, so you could have re-signed Sanders. Like,
right.
No rules against that. So, yeah, it was bad. The other column I wanted to write, but now I may switch gears, was the wide receiver position's been a shit show forever. And, like, every mistake is compounded by the next mistake, or every desperation move is compounded by the next desperation move. And he hasn't hit a home run at wide receiver, in my opinion. I mean, I guess you go with the Welker Moss additions were home runs.
But, well, I was just going to say that since Randy Moss.
Yeah. Like, and even that, you're rolling the dice, you're buying low and selling high. I think actually the better move was Welker, because he invested more in Welker. Mm-hmm. And he hit it. Like, Randy Moss, I think everybody said, well, you know, he hasn't looked great in Oakland, but maybe he gets to Belichick and Brady, and maybe – I don't think anybody could have foreseen Wes Welker going to New England and catching 100 balls a year for five straight years. I thought they overpaid at the time. I thought they overpaid money and trade at the time. So that was a home run. Deion Branch was a home run. Whatever it is, it's 13 freaking years ago.
Right.
Like, people want to tell you, oh, Malcolm Mitchell. Well, no, because he took a shot like he takes on a guy that has bad health history, got a little bit out of it, and then the bad health history that scared everybody else away reared its ugly head. So I don't know that that really – and then Edelman is a total –
you can't really give Bill credit for that.
Well, on so many levels, not just did he draft a quarterback athlete, punt returner, but then – when Wes Welker was leaving, he decided he had to go get Danny Amendola. He didn't know that Edelman was the guy.
Right, right.
So on multiple levels, I don't really give him Edelman. And then obviously the latest, you know, the last 2 years, you're in, you know, scramble mode for Harry. If Harry doesn't turn things around quickly, you're talking about a first and a second round pick over 2 years giving you virtually nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. So – you know, there's definitely a little bit of a hole in Bill Belichick's swing when it comes to wide receivers. And you can't blame Tom anymore. No longer is it about, oh, well, he won't work with young guys, or he won't – it's too hard for old guys, or it's this or it's that. Tom's gone. Can't blame Tom anymore.
So I guess along that same line, getting into the wide receiver position as my 53-man roster, I went with Edelman, N'Keal Harry, Demir Byrd, Gunnar Olszewski, Devin Ross, and Matthew Slater, which meant I left off Jacoby Myers, and I guess you can throw in Jeff Thomas into that just because everybody seems to love Jeff Thomas, even though he hasn't been on the field at all this summer. Any gripes there?
Well, the only thing I would say is there a chance that situationally or circumstantially you're better off keeping Jacoby – if you want Jacoby Myers around – and a lot of people are like, oh, put him on the practice squad. Well, he has to pass through waivers to go to the practice squad.
Yep.
And he was around the NFL for the full season. People have tape on him. They've seen right. him. They know a lot about him. Might you keep him on the roster and try to get one of those other guys through waivers to the practice squad, whoever it is, Devin Ross or
– Do you think anyone in the league is going to claim Devin Ross?
I don't, since he's bounced around a couple times already. And
right.
So that's my only wonder is would somebody take a chance on Jacoby Myers and you'd be better off keeping him and putting somebody else on the practice squad?
Yeah, it's certainly always a possibility. And I don't know how much they – because, again, he's been in a red non-contact jersey, so it's really hard to say how he is this summer. But he does have a full year of tape, so they have an idea of what he is. And it was okay last year. I thought there was some potential there. So who knows? I don't know exactly how they feel about him, and that's probably what obviously matters most.
But the bigger picture issue is the position stinks.
Awful.
Flat out stinks.
It's and awful.
I'm including in that either a 34-year-old's regression from Julian Edelman or just an unfair expectation that the 34-year-old isn't going to regress and we're going to beat the snot out of him for 140 targets and, you know, 100-plus receptions or whatever. That's not fair to him. Like that's just not realistic in my opinion. So it's just an ugly position, and it's a great story that, you know, Gunner's the second best receiver in camp or whatever, or maybe the best receiver in camp. I don't know. Like, but are you going to go to the season where you say Gunner's legitimately one of my top three receivers? Like, I'm going to go out on the field. Gunner's going to play 55 snaps and we're going to be an NFL caliber passing attack. Like,
I just can't
see it. And then you get into just like the replication of, you know, skill sets and
yeah, like Edelman and Gunner are pretty much the same. They don't have, I guess Demir Byrd is your speedster in a way. And he's been up and down. Like, I don't think he's been as great as some people have painted him as, but I think he makes the team just because of his speed, that they don't have any other guys that can do what he can do. And I think you also need to have some speed at the wide receiver position because of Cam as your quarterback.
Yes. And this gets us to where we just were a minute ago. N'Keal Harry screws everything up. If he were a number one receiver, or even you're feeling good, he was taking steps towards number one receiver,
yep.
Like, you know, DK Metcalf and some of the rookies last year, whatever, then everybody else bumps down at least one spot or two spots, and you kind of fall into place, and you're like, well, if Gunner's on the field as the three, maybe, you know, blah, 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 like you can talk yourself into it. But, and I would also say, and I said this on our radio today, like everybody points to say the Sanu, oh, the one game in Baltimore, you know, you force fed him the ball, but he caught 10 of 14 or you don't even have that with Harry. You have a couple plays. You have a literally a couple plays.
Which were gadget plays, like not real NFL wide receiver plays either.
Right. And then you have the negative to balance those out, like the slant in Houston where Brady was pissed. Like, I wish with N'Keal Harry you had one or two games where they threw the ball to him 10 times, he caught it 7.
Right.
Like, that would be – that would buff up his resume nicely.
Like, what did he have, two touchdowns where they were both on, like, jet sweeps, basically?
Well, the – no, one was the fade corner route that he then turned up – it was like a scramble play, kind of, like a broken play.
Yep.
But I just – there's a lot of questions on this offense. There's a lot – and not just roster and depth chart, but, like, actual roles, top spot – like – you're looking for at least two starting receivers next to Edelman. I have no idea who they are. I mean, Harry's like –
Harry has to be one of them by default.
But that doesn't mean he earned it, that he should be.
Oh, I know.
And then tight end, I guess Asiasi will be the starter. But is he ready?
He's going to have to be.
So we're taking all the offensive weapons. We're taking them to the top of the mountain. And we're pushing and saying, I hope you can ski.
Basically, the tight end position, we get into that too, is another major question mark slash problem. And to me, I don't really understand why they're going into the year the way that they are. It was the worst position in the entire tight end position in the entire NFL last year, and you're just throwing all your chips onto Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi.
So do you think – should I be expecting a trade or an addition over the next week at wide receiver and or tight end?
I would say that I would put that in like the 90% category.
Trade or waiver wire pickup?
Let's get both. One at each position.
Yeah, I'm going to say they make a trade definitively. That I'm with you. Like, I think I'm going to say they trade for a tight end.
Also, let's be clear. This isn't going to be like a game-changing player. Like, similar to probably like a Philip Dorsett type trade that they made a couple of years ago. A guy that's like another team wants here, but doesn't have enough spots for him. So instead of just, you know, letting him go, they're going to try to get something for him. So it's not going to be like a, you know, offense changing player, but anything helps at this point.
But I'm optimistic sometimes about these things. For example, a couple of years ago, I was probably overly optimistic when they traded for James Shaughnessy. I thought he could be a nice player for Tom Brady. I believe I even made a bet with somebody that he was going to catch like 35 balls.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, I bet lunch. I actually told Shaughnessy about it. He goes, oh, that's nice. Hey, maybe we can have lunch together if you actually win the bet. I didn't even come close. But I can be optimistic. Like, I am just very dubious of those two positions right now. And that's dragging down the whole team because I can't just count on Cam Newton to, like, carry him to
well, just... It also brings us to the next position, running back. Like, that was sort of the thought was gonna be, oh, you know, those guys will pick up the slack a little bit and help out, and now your guy who you thought potentially could be the number one back could miss week one with a hand injury.
My plan personally has gone to shit at the running back position over the last week, because my plan was Lamar Miller stays on PUP.
Yep.
Damian Harris gets his shot to open the year.
Well, can we probably connect those two together? The Patriots saw that Harris got hurt and realized that they needed to have another running back on the roster, said, go get him, Lamar Miller.
Okay. Can I ask the freaking question? I'm reading excerpts about Tom Brady playing the AFC Championship game after his thumb poked through the skin, and Damian Harris can't carry the ball with a pinky?
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Bledsoe once played a playoff game with a pin sticking out of his hand, his finger. But Damian Harris can't play with a pinky?
You know, they're looking for the long term with him. He's in his second year.
That is the long term with a freaking running back. Like, I'm sorry. And now I have to be talked into Sony Michel, or I have – because Lamar Miller's coming off an ACL too.
Right.
Like, there's no guarantee he's going to look good.
No, it's right? Sort of another one of those things. Just go get him. Hopefully it works out.
Like, I had hope that, again, overly optimistic Andy, always creeping in. I bet somebody that Damian Harris would rush for 1,000 yards. clearly that ship has sailed now. He's going to miss the first couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, my optimism for the offense is non-existent. Non-existent.
Defensively, I guess my linebacker, you brought up off air, linebacker is very young and inexperienced.
Yeah, you had Cash making it. What's his last name? Maula?
Yeah, Maula. Yeah, I don't know exactly how to say it, but well, Cash.
This is what I turned to you for.
No, I had this conversation with John Rook yesterday. I said, you're the announcer guy. You're the one that should know this. And he said, I guess I should.
Bet your Bob Soucy knows how to say it.
I bet he does.
But Cash and then Scooter.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Scooter Harris.
Scooter Harris, that's right. We got a Gunner. We got a Scooter. Like, what do we do? We got a Cash.
Well, my reasoning for keeping Scooter Harris on the roster was sort of similar to yours with the wide receivers, that like he was one of the more sought after undrafted rookies and the Patriots gave him a lot of money. The Patriots could see that from the rest of the league and not be able to slide him onto the practice squad. That's why I have him on the roster.
And you cut Copeland, correct?
Yeah, that was my minor surprise. I just like, nice story, but like how many major special teamers can you have?
And that's the thing, is he's a special teamer. When he's played linebacker and defense, it's been primarily on the edge, not where they could use him at linebacker.
Yeah, that's not – they don't need more edge players.
Right. It's kind of not a great fit.
And I will say, in the practices that we've seen, he wasn't really playing in the middle.
Yeah. That's bad for you guys that cover the team on a daily basis. The
yeah, great quote.
Good talker. Yeah. Professor at what, Penn?
One of those good
– teachers of class, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think the front seven is precariously thin. I saw a number that I didn't know. Like, we knew that they had massive changes on defense and exodus of talent that people were overlooking. But did you see The Athletic wrote that they have 44% of their defensive snaps returning, the lowest number in the National Football League?
Did not know that. That's a good stat.
And for the number one defense, everybody's like, oh, they have the number one defense. No, they don't. 55% of the number one defense is gone.
And I would say the majority of that's in the front seven. Like, it would get even bigger if you factored in the front seven.
Right. Patrick Chung would be the biggest back end kind of guy, but he's kind of a front seven guy. He's tweener. Right. But yeah, Dante Hightower gone. Jamie Cohn's gone. Kyle Van Noy gone. Danny Shelton gone. Like, that's huge. And I don't think people are whistling past that graveyard. I don't think they realize the defense could be mediocre to subpar, especially the bulk of the talent is in the secondary. So you don't think teams are going to run the ball and do things schematically to play to your weaknesses rather than your strength? They're not just going to drop back and throw it 45 times towards Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, just watch the tape of the Tennessee Titans playoff game. That's pretty much all you have to do.
Right. So that's another area that I just think people are – it's the idea. They're fixated on the idea that Belichick, McDaniels, Cam Newton, Stephon Gilmore, like those – the tent poles are still there.
Yep.
And you're setting up for a big show, but you forgot the bleachers and you forgot all the other aspects that go with the circus.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
So I don't know. I've been getting more negative by the day.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Well, because like – even the stuff I thought might be good, is like now Damian Harris, 1,000-yard rusher. My ass, he's got a bad pinky.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I'm definitely getting more negative by the day. I'd bang the under. 8.5, take the under.
My other surprise cut was Cody Davis at the safety spot. Any issues there?
I got no fucking idea anything about Cody Davis. I mean
– well, you gave me issues about cutting Adrian Phillips, and I did my – research, and you were right, he got $3 million guaranteed, so they're not going to cut him.
Can we just, if this were real radio, I'd ask for that to be a drop. So I did my research and you were right.
You can have John do that.
I mean Cody did those special teams ones are always weird. Like, I heard somebody, you joked today, like, wouldn't it be like typical Belichick that he cuts Gunner too? Like, everybody thinks Sanu is like gone. Who knows? Maybe he just says the position stinks. He keeps Harry, Edelman, you know, Bird, and then, like, works the waiver wire or something.
Right.
So, and it's even harder with the special team. So, You have for your core special teamers Slater,
yep.
Bethel.
Yep.
Who else? I assume Cash.
Cash, Phillips.
Phillips.
I guess that's it for real core special. And then I guess those Scooter Harris, if he's on the team, he'd be a core special team.
Scooter Harris, Jakob. You have him on the roster?
Yep.
Jakob. Trying to think of other guys.
How many do you really need, though?
You have Terrence Brooks on the roster, right?
Terrence Brooks, yep.
Yeah, so you've got a decent
enough
core. And then the others fill in there, Bentley's, yep, and the linebacker. Although Bentley's a guy you might not want because
– Well, he's captain now.
If he gets hurt, who the hell is, like, running the front?
True.
Yeah, it's – I will say it's going to be interesting, the Saturday cutdowns, but I don't think overly interesting. Like, Sanu is going to be one of the biggest. And
– They also, like, don't you think there could be a couple maybe today, tomorrow?
Sure, probably. Yeah, like Sanu doesn't get to go to like the little premiere, right? He's already got long gone and hard to find.
Yeah, I guess so. According to Josie and Anderson, he called in last night. Bill called him in for a chat at Gillette.
Well, they can't even do their thing. Their annual Robert Kraft Cape Cod party.
That's true.
That would have been
like one yesterday of these Saturdays, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Like, no, it would have been in the past, but I was actually thinking about that on one of their off days. Like, oh, I wonder if they're going to Robert Kraft's house today.
But yeah, you're probably not allowed to.
I mean, I guess
they could have a party with seventy people.
But they could get away with it, but they're saying all these guys are tested every day, blah blah blah.
I don't think that would be a bad look, bad optics.
Totally, totally.
Okay, so you have the roster set. You got everything right. Now, have you cross-referenced it with any others to see?
Mike Reese had a couple surprises, I guess. J.J. Taylor, the undrafted rookie running back, which means you have a lot of running backs.
Now, as what? Like, as a true running back, as a returner, does he have return ability?
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't specify.
No, I don't mean, like...
He was just there, running back.
Do you think J.J. Taylor could be, like, a lead punt returner? I haven't been at camp.
No, I don't. I think that's the mere bird.
Damir Bird is the lead punt returner?
Yeah.
Are you getting yourself in trouble? Should you not say this?
He's one of.
Okay. Because what about Kyle Duggar? I thought Kyle Duggar was going to be a punt returner.
He didn't do as much as I would have thought.
Okay. Because he was.
But again, who knows what we don't see? Like,
well, that's when it was big, when we didn't see it, was the 4 days of Patriots.com were pumping him up as a punt returner.
Right. So.
Any other – so J.J. Taylor, that would be interesting. Mini Deion Lewis 2.0 or whatever.
Like I had him on the practice squad. Like, I don't know if they're worried about him not clearing waivers. And then the other big surprise, I guess bigger than J.J. Taylor, was Rashad Berry.
He's the tight end D end?
Yeah.
Rob Bradford will be happy. He loves him.
But he hasn't even been a tight end in training camp. He's been on defense.
Oh, I was going to say, I was going to ask you which position, but you yell at me again and say you didn't specify or something. So Rashad, yeah.
That'll be a major surprise to me. He hasn't really done anything in my eyes to stand out at all.
Ugh, so this team is, remember when I said I did my roster and I got to 46 and realized I didn't really want anybody else?
Yeah.
What if Bill does that? Maybe he'll cut down to like 48 and claim a bunch of bodies.
Haven't we seen that in years past that he
realizes
that the end back end of his roster just sucks and what he can get is going to be better than what he has?
Yes, he has done that a few different times. I mean, there was the way back in 2000 was the team that he just flat out cut everybody and went a couple weeks without enough. He didn't feel like he had enough bodies that were worthy of being on the roster, so he didn't have anybody on the roster. So it could
probably
be
that. Go that far this year, but similar mindset.
I think the more and more I see this year, the Cam signing tweaks it. But if you think Bill is investing in multiple years with Cam and wants Cam around long term, this is, to steal a term from the Red Sox, a bridge year. It's a year where they're doing that.
That leads me to I don't even think I was going to bring this up, but did you see the odds maker Bet Online had it the odds higher that he would leave than actually come back next year in 2021?
Yeah, based on what?
I don't know, but these things are like these books, these sports books had Cam Newton coming to the Patriots all along, and they were proven right.
Just because you're right once, you don't get to live off.
They've been right before.
They've also been wrong before a lot.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of these gamblers do what you just did. They want credit when they're right, and they want you to ignore every time they were wrong. Like Floyd Mayweather. Look at me. I made $40 million on this bet. Now show me
I'm not saying it's accurate. I'm just throwing it out there.
Why would he not be the coach next year?
I have no idea. He's retiring. Maybe he's getting close to – he'll be 69 next year. Maybe he doesn't want to coach that old.
Well, he did always say he wasn't going to be 70.
Well, as I put in the blog, he basically refuted that last year on OMF, saying that, like, as he got older, his mindset's kind of changed and he could see himself doing that.
Right.
I also said his contract's one of the biggest mysteries in sports, but I weren't there rumblings this offseason or last year that he got an extension?
There's always rumblings about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Don't listen to rumblings.
Well, this was like a good insider rumbling.
You know what rumblings are full of?
What?
Shit. When my stomach rumbles, it precedes shit. So when there's rumblings, ignore it. It's shit. When there's reports, when there's actual information, that's when you should listen. But I know. I think Bill Belichick is invested in this team. Because I'd also think – I'd be pissed if I were Robert. Like, I kind of picked you over Brady.
Yes, actually.
So now you're out after a year? Brady was only willing to give me 2 years maybe, but you're only giving me one? And I pick you?
Well, that means we'd have another chapter in these books that everybody seems to write about the Patriots. Jeff Benedict's. You'd have to write another chapter.
The overwhelming book that is the dynasty that's large and lots of pages and chapters and a little overwhelming to begin. But yes, I believe Bill Belichick may be investing long-term. That's part of the reason why I've said this to you before. I think the trade deadline could be very interesting because by the trade deadline, he will have a better handle of Scooter and Gunna and Cash and Jeff and JJ and Devin and Dalton. I mean, there's a million young guys that are going to play. Does that seem like a recipe for success?
No, seems like a big gamble.
Yeah. But it's not a gamble if you're not – like, he's trying to win. But it's not a gamble if your priority is to – remember when we talked about Stidham pre-cam? If you find out about Stidham this year, it was a success.
So then, but then this talking through this and how this has all played out this summer, this makes the Cam sound even more puzzling.
Why?
Because why wouldn't you just go into the year with Stidham?
Because you may have decided, A, Stidham's not that good. You're worried about how good Stidham is. And B, you've always lusted a little after Cam. You kind of like Cam. He's healthy. He's cheap. And there's no saying you can't keep him moving forward.
I guess. Yeah. So if you could make Cam part of your future building process. Yeah.
Maybe. In my theory, where they're trying to find out what they have with a bunch of pieces, maybe they've already decided Cam's healthy. I have something in Cam. I'm going to be looking to keep that relationship going. Next check, let's see what Damian Harris is. Now,
doesn't that seem like a dangerous game to play, especially with Cam's injury history and the way he plays the game?
But it's always a dangerous game to play. Everybody gets hurt. You can't play in fear.
I know, but like – I don't know. Do you want to invest in a guy that's sort of getting into his 30s as opposed to a guy that's just coming into the league and has who knows what to grow?
And who also could get hurt, but I don't even know if he's good. Cam Newton, at least I think he's good. And he's early 30s. He's not late 30s. My comp for him is Ben Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger's 37?
Yeah.
But you're talking about maybe 6 years of Cam Newton. Let's just say that, 6 years of Cam Newton. That's a long time to have a quarterback. That's 6 years, six good years. Now you're talking Belichick's gone and somebody else.
Bill's gone, yeah.
Right. So there is a part of me that thinks there's a lot of evaluating going on early in this season to figure out what the future is going to hold.
Any other major topics you want to bring up?
Major topics. Sanu, Damian Harris, your roster, Cam Newton, captains. No, I think we've done a pretty good job.
I think so.
Did we miss anything? We've decided we're not getting yet into Dolphins and season, even though technically we are a week away from the season starting, the opener, which one thing I do have a question about that I've heard go completely seemingly silent is the idea that the NFL could do something similar to the NBA and the shutdowns and the boycotts and the strikes. Are we past that? Is there no chance of anything being
Marquise Pouncey of the Steelers was asked about that today. He said he hasn't envisioned the Steelers taking part in that. Like, he thinks that they're good. But you're right. Since last week, that kind of topic's died down.
But yeah, it was like a big topic for a short period. It burned hot and then burned out.
It's always in play. I mean, but I think that would also sort of increase its, like, its impact if it just came suddenly. Like, if
I agree. I actually thought of that. Like, if you say 10 days and build up and it's people sort of know, yeah, it loses its impact. The shock is
like Saturday afternoon.
Well, Thursday morning of the opener.
Oh,
or
the opener.
Thursday,
yeah. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has a statement. We will not be playing tonight. We don't feel that it's proper. We need to pay proper attention to the issues right. that this country has, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think that would be a much bigger, much, much, much bigger deal than if
it were. Imagine really if that game didn't play, like how upset NBC, the NFL, and
that's the impact because everybody's watching. The whole right. world is watching. You got, you know, Carrie Underwood doing a new intro song. You got like it's star power. That's an event. And you pull the plug on an event.
Yes.
That'd be big. Do you have a curveball for me?
I was going to ask about just not a question, but more about like some boat tales, some tales out on your boat. You've been on your boat a lot lately, coming the end of the summertime. Like, how's the summer been with COVID restrictions? Just your time on the boat. How's it been?
Tremendous. Have used my boat more this year than I think ever.
Which makes sense because you don't have like other options to go. Like that's an option you can do.
Right.
You've been home more time.
Home more. Youth sports were canceled and postponed more, a lot less sports and those types of commitments. The weather has been okay. It's run better, quite frankly. It didn't break down. It could occasionally have a breakdown that cost you a couple weeks or something. But no, it's been enjoyable. I will say, from my perspective down this way, I think more people bought boats. There's more boats around than ever. Because you know, you remember reading all those things where people were buying campers and stuff. And
yep.
I think a lot of people bought boats to get, like what you said, like get away, can go out on the river, go to the beach, whatever. And it's been really busy, really hectic. The harbor master pulled us over the other day and he was a total douche. Mm-hmm. And I think he's stressed out because there's just more traffic, more people, yeah. probably more people that haven't owned boats before. So novice boaters. Yeah. And so he was really douchey and I think that's part of it. But for us, it's been great. We've done more fishing. We're kind of transitioning now more into the fishing phase because the temperatures are coming down. So, you know, go for boat rides and fish a little bit. We've actually had a very good year fishing too. It's been one of our best years fishing with bluefish and stripers and stuff. We had a fun tale, two things. First of all, I started following Boating Idiots on Instagram, which is a tremendously hilarious Instagram feed of people doing dumb things in boats.
Yep.
But I took my son and his friend out for a ride in the ocean. He gets a little seasick, so we usually don't go more than like a mile offshore, and then yep. we turn around because he doesn't. And so we go back in after we went out for a nice little ride. We go to the beach for a couple hours, and he's like, let's go back out for another ride in the ocean. And it had gotten rougher in the time that we were at the beach. And then when we went back out and we're going along, we take a good boom, boat slams down, his butt hits and he's like, oh, and then the next thing we went right through like a big wave, like head on. And it just, he's sitting up in the bow and it just hit him in the back of the head. And I swear, like the face he made was life flash before his eyes. Fate. Like he had no idea what was hitting him in the back of the head. Like, are we going to die? Am I going to drown? What's going on here? And he's like, let's go back in. I'm good. I'm soaked. I'm cold. Let's go back in. It's rough out here. But no, it's been a very fun summer on the boat. And even though I didn't buy a new one, still shopping though, still looking for deals. I'm hoping some of these people that bought them, it's like a one and done thing. And yep. they're like, where am I going to keep a boat? I don't have any place to store it this winter. And maybe I can get some deals on boats in the late fall season.
All right. So we'll be back next week with the preview podcast, I guess. And then I think we're both going to be at the opener. We both requested credentials, so we'll be there.
Damn it. What?
Yes, you'll be there. Like, it got approved, I believe.
Son of a bitch. I got to go to Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't been there in however long. It's nice to see your face, see your old coworkers. It'll be good for you.
Yeah, when was the last time I was there? The Tennessee game? Probably. Did Bill do a pre-draft?
The day after. We were both there the day after.
The day after.
Yeah.
When he wasn't ready to talk about Tom. That was a decision for the future.
That's true.
I ripped him for that one.
That's true.
Yeah, so that'll be my return. Been a long time.
Yeah.
And that'll be different. Plexiglass. And we all know Bill said the plexiglass bill was through the roof for Gillette Stadium.
We'll see firsthand why.
I'll also be going to Gillette Stadium sometime in the next week or so for the – did you see the advertising? They're having Jurassic Quest
No.
in the parking lot. They're – I believe there's 40 of them. They are dinosaurs that are as big as 80 feet high, and it's like a drive-through Jurassic dinosaur experience thing.
Interesting COVID development. I think that's a great idea for them. A big space, open parking lot that's not getting used. Why not?
Well, the one thing I need to ask is, based on the promos or the advertising on Patriots.com and GilletteStadium.com, it says it runs from, I want to say, tomorrow through the 13th.
Yep.
The 13th. What's the 13th?
The home opener.
So there could be 80-foot dinosaurs just outside the stadium when the Patriots are playing? Like, is he going to look through, like, the open enders? Because they're animatronic.
Oh, really?
So there could be, like, a dinosaur you could see by the lighthouse or by the open end. I need to find that out, because that would be funny. I'm sure CBS would actually like it.
But I was going to say, but they actually would to get some, you know, action without fans, to get something.
Better than empty parking lot. Like,
yeah, they got to show some – I'm sure there'll be some helicopter flying over. You got to show something.
Right, and I don't know, have some fun with it. You could have one eating a dolphin or something, like a big rubbery dolphin. That'd be cool. Okay, I'm done.
All right, well, we'll be back next week. Talk to you later.
Peace out.